Good evening, everyone. Tonight, I want to talk about marriage. There's been a lot of, I guess, marriages in the last year or so right here in this congregation, and there's still some coming up. And about 4 months ago, I started thinking about marriage, and I was thinking about how I might talk about it. I'm thinking about my own marriage and some of the things that I failed in and how I might be able to study and better improve that. And I'm not going to go over all the things about marriage because that would be a whole series. So I'm not going to break it down and say things that we need to do individually as much as what marriage is. Because if we can find and we know what marriage actually is, and look at the covenant relationship that we come into, and we read about it in nearly every book in the Bible. Marriage, maybe not husband-wife marriage, but I want to talk about marriage as a whole, a bigger picture than the husband and wife relationship. The covenant or joining, I mean, marriage really is a joining of two things together, a marriage. And it starts in Genesis 2 and ends in Revelation 21. There's another marriage relationship talked about. In the beginning, it starts with man and wife. And at the end, it's talking about Jesus and the marriage, the bride, the new Jerusalem coming up. So marriage isn't just something we think about between a man and a woman, but it's a covenant relationship that we can relate back to our relationship with Christ and our relationship to each one of us here because we're all in the same body. And we'll start off in Genesis 2. We're going to start there because it's going to really, it's going to set off everything we talk about here. So Genesis 2 and verse 22. It says, "Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman. And he brought her to the man. And Adam said, 'This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh.'" Now we can think of that in just a plain physical husband-wife relationship, but if we look at the bigger picture, at the covenant relationship that we have, we can see that same scenario playing out. The types and shadows and really there's a lot of symbolic relationships built of all the things that we do with God, built upon this marriage type of covenant, this marriage relationship. What do we do when we become a Christian? What do we do when we really follow God? We leave our father and mother, or what we were grown up, or what we think, or what we strive to be. We get rid of that, and we are joined to Christ. We are joined in a new holy union with God. So we separate ourselves from what we knew, and now we're joined as one person with God, with Christ. Hosea, the whole book, is about that same kind of marriage relationship, a covenant that we have, that God's people had with him, and that same language of adultery and turning away from and leaving the covenant and coming back. It's all to show us what a marriage looks like. So I don't have to talk about specific things that you must do as a man, you must do as a woman. But if we read about our relationship that we have with God and relationship we have in the church, we'll know how we ought to act with our husbands and wives. We'll know how we ought to act with our relationship with Christ and how we act with a relationship with each one that's here today. Because we are all in the same covenant relationship. Turn to Ephesians 5. Now, Ephesians 5 kind of talks about, it gives a shadow of the whole thing. He talks about a mystery, which really isn't a mystery. He uses the marriage relationship, but then pulls in our relationship with Christ, and our relationship as a church. We'll start in verse 22. It says, "Wives, submit yourself, submit to your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, just like a husband, a wife to the husband, just like the church is subject to Christ and he's the Savior, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, because the church is his bride. He's showing us exactly how we ought to live our lives, our marriage with our husbands and wives. That he might sanctify and cleanse her for the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies, for he who loves his wife loves himself." So there is a greater connection than just loving, than just a husband-wife relationship. Sorry, I don't like being up there. Instead, just a husband and wife relationship, there's a connection between you and God, between you and all the people here, because we're going to go into that more about us all being one body. We're all married, if you will, to Christ in a covenant relationship. And if we can fix the covenant relationship and know how we ought to live our lives in that relationship with Jesus, and we can fix this relationship here, and we can fix the relationship with our husbands or our wives. We just have to build upon that. But how do we do that? It's kind of simple. And I know we've been talking about it. Jason's been preaching about it. Really, love is the answer. Having love, a godly love for God, a godly love that's expressed in all the things that you do. If you know how Jesus loved us, then you can emulate that. And if you can do that with him, you can do that with your husband or wife, and you can do that to each member of the church, each member of the body in which you're growing and living with. So if we do that, there's a lot of things. But I'm going to talk about three things, really, that we can do, or what type of love that we can do and we can nourish in our lives to become better in our marriage relationship. So just because you're not married does not mean you don't need to know about this marriage relationship, because if you're a Christian, you're in a marriage relationship. You're in a covenant relationship where the same things apply to your husband and wife that apply to God and apply to each one of us. So humbly, we must love humbly. Jesus loved humbly. Sacrificially, Jesus loved sacrificially. He gave himself for the church. And also submissively. Now, these are things that men and women ought to have in their marriage relationship, but in a husband-wife relationship, and they're talked about in that sense, but in the bigger picture, that's how we have to live every day as a Christian, every day as a servant of Christ. Humbly. Let's start with humbly. How did Christ love humbly? Well, in Matthew 2, it talks about how he emptied himself, he became a servant to all. But really, Philippians 2, we're going to return to Philippians, because the Philippian writer in chapter 2 has all the things I'm going to talk about. So Philippians 2, if I don't pass it up again, chapter 2. I don't want to go too far. We'll just, let's look at 6 and 7. So who being in the form of God did not consider robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. Jesus was humble. It talks about him emptying himself. He humbled himself. He came from the greatest place you could be in heaven and came to pretty much the worst place besides hell, but pretty much the worst place he could be. He's down here with all the sinners. But he did that and became humble so that he could teach, so that he could live amongst you and be part of the community, part of the human race. He didn't come as a king. The Hebrew nation, the Jews, thought he was going to come as a king and save them and do all these great things. But did he do that? No, he came humbly. He was humble. He washed the feet of his disciples. He taught humbly. He didn't teach as an overlord or, you know, he didn't teach as you would think God would teach. Do what I say. You know, order people around. That's not how he taught. That's not how he lived his life, because he loved us in a humble way. So when it says to love, husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church, are you loving your wives humbly? Sometimes men, we're leaders in the church. We get to lead. We're leaders, and we read it in Ephesians 5. We're leaders of the house. We're leaders in the church also. Do we let our gender get in the way of our selfless service, our humble service, our loving service in our families or in the church? Do we lord over our wives? Do we lord over the other people in the congregation, the women in the congregation? They don't have a chance to come up here and lead and teach. Do we feel like we're superior to them and lord over them? Or do we act humbly and we give ourselves to them? We give up our spot. We give up that, I guess, an inert feeling that a lot of men have because they feel, well, I do all this stuff. I'm the man. I get to do this. You do what I say. A lot of men have a larger drive than women to be at the top and be the leader. And a lot of times in their jobs, they're like that. But is that how they love their wife? Do you love your wife in a way in which you're putting them down and ordering them around? Or are you loving like Jesus loved you? Like Jesus loved everyone. Humbly. And working with them. Living up to what they want you to live up to. Not what you want to be, but giving yourself to them. That's humble service. That's a humble type of love. I think a lot of times men don't do that even in the congregation. We're a one body here. We're of one body. We're of Christ's body. And while the men get to do these, really it's service. Are we serving the other women who might not have a husband? Are we letting them have a voice? Are we humbly loving them and doing what is good for them? Or are we lifting ourselves up and lording over them? So that's one thing, one way to start to love like Jesus loved, even in the church or in your family, is to love humbly. Give up what you think you are and what you have. And even in the beginning, he says he left his mother and father and to be joined or cling to your wife, because she is you. And you are now the church. So give up those things and love humbly in the church. The second part is to be sacrificial. We ought to love sacrificially. how did Jesus love sacrificially? Well, we all know he gave his life for the church. But in Philippians 2, again, I left my place. In Philippians 2, again, in verse 3, it says, Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not for his own interest only, but also for the interests of others. We need to sacrifice. Jesus sacrificed his time for us. Go to 2 Corinthians 8. Paul writes here in verse 9. We'll just do verse 9. He says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich." Now we know he left heaven. He gave up all that he had in heaven to come down and live in poverty. It talks about in Luke 9 and 58, it talks about him that he didn't have a place. He said, "Look, foxes have holes, that you know, birds have the trees to nest in, but I, the Son of Man, doesn't even have a place to lay his head." He was a vagabond. He just traveled and roamed. He didn't have a home. But he gave all that up for each one of us. He sacrificed what he had with God, being in the presence of God, to come down and show us how we ought to live in the kingdom, how we ought to love one another in that same sacrificial love. We have to give up what we have. When you became married, if we just go to the marriage relationship, and a lot of times before you're married, you have things that you like to do. You have toys because you were single. You had other interests. But when you become married, if those don't fit within that relationship, you make sacrifices and you give them up. You give up those toys. You give up the things that you used to like, because now you've become one with your wife or your husband. And you have to give up things that you might have liked before, but to give to your significant other, because they are significant. Christ sacrificed his whole life, his life on this earth, for our sins. We should be sacrificing things in this worldly life to gain the love and the commitment that we ought to have for our spouses and to the church, to God. Going back to Genesis 2, he left his mother and father. You left that old way. You left all those things behind you to be joined and cling to his wife. And we should be leaving all those things behind, only those things that are good for edification, only those things that are good to lift each other up, or the church, the congregation up. Those are the things that we can continue in. But you need to sacrifice your time. You need to sacrifice money, if it be, to help those who you love, who you are covenantly married to. Either your spouse, or God, or the church, to the people on your left and right. That's the kind of love Jesus had for you. That's the kind of love you need to nurture, sacrificial love, so that you can be the best person you can be. That you can build a strong marriage, a strong relationship, marriage relationship, covenant with God and with each person sitting here. Because we are one body. We are the body of Christ. The last thing is submissively. We ought to love submissively. Now, normally, we talk about that with wives. Like, okay, men, you had to love your wives, sacrifice. You need to love them as Christ loved the church. Yes, those are all true. And then we say, well, the submissive part goes to the women. Women, and it says it, we read it in Ephesians 5. But men have to live submissively too. You have to love in a submissive manner because we are the body of Christ. We have to submit to God's law. We have to submit to Jesus and His teachings. And we have to be submissive in our service to Him in the church. Jesus was submissive. So even He was submissive, even though He was God. He was submissive to God. In John 5, in John 5 and John 6, there are two passages here. So in John 5:19, we see Jesus Himself answering. And He says, most assuredly I say to you, the Son of Man, the Son can do nothing of Himself, but what He does, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of Himself, but what He sees the Father do. For whatever He does, the Son also does in like manner. And then in verse 6, or chapter 6, and verse 38, it says, for I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but to do the will of Him who sent me. Jesus was submissive in His love. In His love for us, He submitted Himself to God to do what was right on this earth. Back to Philippians chapter 2. Down in verse 8 in chapter 2, it says, and being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient to the point of death. He was submissive to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Jesus was submissive in His love. Although He was all-powerful, He was God, the way He loved was submissive. So, submission is not only reserved for the wife, but also for everyone. Because we need to submit to God's will in our life. And if we submit to that, we can build a stronger relationship with each one, each member here, by living a certain way, by submitting to one another. In Ephesians 5, really Ephesians 5 and Philippians 2, those are my main, my working texts here. And we talk about wives being submissive. Wives, submit to your own husbands, as to the Lord, for the husband is head over the wife, also Christ is head over the church. He is the Savior of the body. That is us, right? Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, also let your wives be subject to their own husbands in everything. So he just told husbands, what we always read is, oh, women be subject, be submissive. But he also said, husbands, if you're in the body, you're submissive to God too. You have to be. God is still the head. Jesus is the head of the church. So, in turn, you are, in this sense, the wife part of it. So in the marriage, the church is the wife. So we have to all be submissive under his rule, under Jesus' rule. So if we come to define marriage, not in the terms of a husband and wife, but in a greater sense, our whole relationship with God, our whole relationship with one another in the church, and we can define that, and we can build upon that, and we can truly love one another the way we ought to love one another. Your marriage relationship to your spouse will be easy. Because you already have the basis of what it takes to be a good partner, a good spouse, husband or wife. Because you already know how to please God the way he has asked you to. You've seen the way Jesus lived his life. And you can lean upon that. It's all through here. So the specifics, I mean, Jason talked about this morning. The specifics can all be worked out if you get the base, the foundation right. So if you know that that covenant relationship of marriage is not just between a man and a wife, but that same theme throughout the Bible is our relationship with God and what our roles are and how we ought to love one another and how we ought to live that life, we can work out all kinds of relationships. We can fix our relationship between us and Jesus. We can fix our relationship between our spouse. And we can fix our relationship within the congregation with one another because we've loved in a submissive manner, giving ourselves up to the rule of God and doing what we needed to do obediently within the church, within our role, and living the way he's asked us to. Because he didn't love harshly, he loved humbly. He asked us to do these things and showed us how we ought to do it, even though he was God in the flesh. And yet he was so humble. He washed the feet of his servants, and they didn't understand it. But we have to cultivate that love in our own lives toward God and toward one another. And that marriage relationship between our spouse will come easy. We talked a little bit, I guess, in the Hebrews class, about Hebrews 13 and verse 4. Kind of sums up in my head, in my thinking, how we ought to be. In verse 4, he says, marriage is honorable among all in the bed undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge. Now, if you just look at that in a marriage husband-wife relationship, it's easy to pass over. But if you think about that in your spiritual relationship or your spiritual commitment to God, it works the same way. Because fornicators, those who are traveling and seeking their own pleasure outside of God, those who are trying to do things outside of God, they're going to be judged. Those who are inside God, they're adulterers because they're seeking idols, seeking their own pleasures, without submitting to God, without using the same things they've been taught by Christ. Those things go hand in hand. So anytime it talks about a marriage relationship in here, don't just think about husband and wife. Think about your relationship, your covenant relationship with God. Men are supposed to leave their family, join to the wife. when we become a Christian, we leave the world and we become joined to Christ. We become joined in what? One body, right? One body. We are all part of the same body. We are all married in a sense to one another. And when he says, it talks about in Ephesians 5 that you wouldn't do anything bad to your own body. I mean, who would hurt their own body? Well, why would you do that to another member of your family, another member of this church family? Because you're hurting yourself. Because we're all united as one in the body of Christ. We're all married together with the same hope. I'll leave you with this, that we have tough times, you know, in our lives, in our marriage, you know, both husband and wife, and in our Christian relationship. Sometimes we run into problems. Or we run into issues that we have a hard time getting past in our marriage and inside the church. Sometimes there are splits within the congregation. And that is kind of a wedge in the marriage relationship. And things break down. But there's always hope to go back. There's always room to grow and find the problem and fix it. And you do that by having the right attitude, having the right kind of love. We must endlessly love one another like Christ loved us. That he came here humbly. That he came here and sacrificed heaven. He sacrificed a good life as the king. He sacrificed all those things on this earth to show and teach us how we ought to live and love one another. And he submitted himself to all the things that God told him to do. And that's how we have to love God, have to love each one of our brothers and sisters in Christ. And if we can do that, continuously, courageously loving as Jesus did, we will grow our, not only our physical relationship with our wife or our husband, but our relationship with God and every person in here will grow closer and stronger in their marriage relationship with one another. And if we can do that, the little things will work themselves out. We just have to have that love for one another. If you're not a Christian, you don't have that. You don't have forgiveness of your sins. You're on the outside. You're on the outside looking in, and I hope some things have resonated and you push for a relationship, a covenant. I won't say marriage because that sounds weird, because that's not how we think about marriage, but a covenant relationship with God where he is going to love you. He's going to love you courageously and endlessly and try to keep you here with him. If you want that love and you want forgiveness of your sins that he died for, we offer that to you. And if you are struggling, if you're struggling in your relationship with Christ, in your relationship with somebody in this church, in your relationship with family members, we're all here to help because we're all part of the body. And if you need anything from any one of us, or you need the prayers from the saints here, we offer that as an invitation to come forward as together we stand and sing and make that known to us.